Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how most of us would like to stop pushing and micromanaging and forcing things to go our way so that we can relax. What if you could enjoy what you have instead of always lusting after more? How would you like to really be happy with what you have? Be positive about the relationships in your life, about love and health and financial and career success, without worrying about it, without really pursuing and concerning, and having wonderful abundance in your life. And this is what my guest this evening offers in her new book, The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways That Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. My guest this evening is Dr. Judith Orloff, Assistant Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at UCLA and author of this really fantastic book called Letting Go and Surrendering, and how it can be a tool to helping us take charge of our lives. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Judith Orloff to Take Charge of Your Life. Welcome, Dr. Orloff.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, this is a really interesting book. I must say that when I read the title, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life, The Ecstasy of Surrender, I said, how could that be? what do you mean surrender? We're used to working hard. You know, surrender doesn't seem to be, you know, really a way of getting things that we want in our lives. How did you come to this title, and how did you come to this topic, Dr. Orloff?
Well, I tend to be a control freak, and I tend to work a lot and, you know, really, really put a lot of energy, you know, too much energy into work. And when I wrote this book, I thought, what do I want the most in my life? And for me, it's learning to surrender, to not always push and force and struggle and lift every brick to make things happen, to be able to balance surrendering, letting go, with putting in the action and taking action to, you know, achieve your goals. It's because as a psychiatrist, in 20 years of practice, I realized that the missing piece to happiness is surrender. You can't control everything. This is what's so hard for people. As much as we might want to, we can't.
And how do we know, how do we recognize when it's time to surrender? I mean, we can hear the words, but first of all, before we go to an example, what do you actually mean by surrender? What are you actually implying?
Okay, surrender, it typically in Western culture is considered defeat and weakness. I'm not defining it that. I'm defining it as intuitively knowing when to move forward and when to hang back, and when to let something come to you, or when to wait, or when to have patience. So basically, surrendering is being attuned to the flow of life, not just pushing and forcing. And I'm not saying you don't do everything to achieve your goals, but what I am saying is that when there's a pause or when something isn't happening, it's better to wait and let it go until the right moment comes.
So what you're really saying is we need to be more aware of our surroundings, that we really have to be more aware of where we are, whom we're with, and what is really going on, when most of us are really concerned with how we're reacting.
Yes, yes, exactly. And surrendering fear is a big premise of my book. That you do not want to lead a fear-driven life. And, you know, there are many struggles that happen in life. You know, let's say you can't find a job, or you lost your job, or you had a loss in your family, or you're going through an illness. In each chapter, I go through how to deal with different life circumstances, but the key is not to tighten up, not to tense up or force things, because that only makes things worse. The key is to breathe, to go with it, to meditate, to listen to your intuition at those moments where things aren't going exactly as you would like them.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, talking about a job. The most difficult time is right now. People are struggling for positions. Some have lost their positions. Some people are in their 50s and find they're competing with younger people. And organizations don't want to hire people in their 50s. And although they're not old, they're made to feel old and they feel defeated. Can you talk about how surrender can be helpful in this kind of situation?
Well, yes. Number one, you know, that's true. What you said is absolutely true, and it's an abomination, you know. But number two is that whenever you're faced with a struggle or a conflict, you always have to breathe and tune into your intuition and find the best option instead of just panicking when that happens. You know, I believe in the flow of life, and at 60, at 70, at 40, at 50, you need to tune into the flow of life in order to find that job that is best for you. To get into a mindset, I'm 60, I'm never going to find a job, and it's all over, is not going to help you. And so whatever, as you said earlier, whatever happens in life that might be stressful, you have control over your own attitude. And that's where surrender comes in. Now, instead of panicking and tensing up, you can say, all right, I'm going to take a breath, recenter myself, and tune into where the job is, where the perfect job is, where I should go, and what work I should be doing now, and follow that instead of just a fearful mind.
And also making up your mind that you want to work and that you're going to find something.
Absolutely. I don't believe so much in statistics. I believe in destiny and also in, you know, the goodness of the human being. And so if you want to work, if you feel that it's right to work, you have to go for it. And forget all the fear. You know, part of the surrendering is surrendering fear. And what I suggest is not watching the 11 o'clock news quite as much, you know, before you go to sleep, so that you can, you know, focus on more positive activities. The news is so fear-based. And so what I suggest is that you get each person, you know, in the book, I suggest each person gets in touch with what their dreams really are and how to pursue them. And even if everyone in the world says it's not possible, to me, as a psychiatrist, I encourage my patients to go for their dreams. And if they're not meant to happen, they won't happen. You know, it's as simple as that. But if you feel like you're drawn to do something, do it and believe in yourself above all else. And don't let fear run you.
You know, sometimes we get very disappointed. We try very hard to accomplish a goal. I'm thinking now of many people, we're coming towards spring, and people are getting ready, and we've had a change in, you know, we're in the year 2014, and people are trying to lose weight and take care of their health. And one of the things that becomes very defeating is when you go on a diet or you make a plan and nothing happens. And people become defeated. I'm thinking of my own self. I remember that there was a time that I used to weigh myself every single week. And what, no matter what I did, no matter how meticulously I followed the plan, Dr. Orloff, nothing happened. That scale didn't move. And do you know what I decided to do?
What's that?
I decided not to go on the scale anymore.
Good for you.
And I said, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm not a scientist, but I know that scale and I are no longer friends. So I simply continued to follow a healthy plan and do what I needed to do. And lo and behold, without going on the scale, things happened and the sizes dropped and I still haven't gone on the scale.
Absolutely. I haven't been on the scale for 20 years.
Oh,
for
really?
That reason. No. Even when I go to the doctor's office, I don't let them weigh me. Because I don't want that number in my head. Because, I mean, I love my body. I'm really happy with my body. But I still don't want a number in my head to, you know, obsess about. So it's about, that's where surrender comes in, where you realize the scale wasn't working. You let it go. You went about your health regimen, and it worked out because you were surrendering fear. That's a great practical example where you don't ever, people don't ever have to get on the scale. But just do things that feel good for your body. That's what's important. See, surrender means surrendering towards something positive and letting go and surrendering the negative. It doesn't just mean giving up or defeat. It means making a conscious choice about what direction you want to go in your life. And for those people who don't believe that surrender will work, all you have to do is just try it in one little thing and see the results. I'm a psychiatrist. I've been in medical practice for over 20 years, and I am very results-oriented, and I practice the principles of this book in my own life. So what I just ask people, just try one thing. Try not pushing so hard. Try not making all those phone calls and alienating people because, you know, you're over-anxious. You know, try not sending that email that's going to harm you, you know, just because you're anxious and you feel in the right. You know, just try one little thing.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, we're talking to Dr. Judith Orloff, who is the author of The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways That Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. And this is your host, Eleanor Barbaro. And we were just talking about the ways that surrender, which we normally think of as defeatful, can actually be empowering, which is the message of Dr. Judith Orloff's wonderful book. If you do get an opportunity, you must get it. It is really very inspiring. Now, we were talking about I was talking about the way I use surrender. I didn't realize I was surrendering.
I know. Most people don't. That's why practical examples are so useful at this.
You know, I have one other, I don't know whether this is surrender, but one time I was looking for my keys. I was getting ready for a meeting, and I was on my way out the door. I couldn't find those keys. No matter how hard, no matter where I looked, I was getting so upset, and I found myself criticizing. I said, oh, what's wrong with you? You're going to be late. What are they going to think? And suddenly I heard my father's voice in my head saying, you went to college and you can't find your keys? What kind of a thing is that? You think you're so smart? And finally, I just stopped short. And what I did was, Dr. Orloff, I really said out loud, Dad, I know you're there. I know you're in my head. And I know you want to be helpful. But it's not helping. So I'm going to turn you down. Thank you so much, Dad, for your love. Bye-bye. And you know what? As soon as I did that, I found my keys and I wasn't late for the meeting.
Exactly. That's a beautiful example of how fear can throw you off and how surrendering fear can align everything.
Well, you know, we're going to talk more about, you have so many wonderful areas in your book. We're going to talk about relationships when we come back. And also, I want to talk about healing and illness and sometimes how pain can ruin our lives or run it, and how we can use surrender to make peace in our lives and to have the happiness that we all seek when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Barbaro, your host. And this evening we're talking with Dr. Judith Orloff, who has written a most empowering book. It's called The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways That Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. One of the things that many people struggle with today, Dr. Orloff, who are fortunate enough to be working, is they find themselves in an environment at work where their boss might be what we call quote-unquote toxic, or their fellow employees around them, their staff might be toxic. How does one deal with that? And I'm raising this because we live in an age where our jobs are extremely important, and we don't want to let anything interfere with our success, particularly other employees. How do we go about that with your concept of letting go and the ecstasy of surrender?
Yes, well, in the book, I have a whole chapter on how to deal with toxic people and how surrender can help you. But number one, you don't want to go up against them or confront them. That's the mistake that people make. You want to respond, not react. You see, what people do when their buttons are pushed, let's say you have a narcissistic boss who doesn't care about your feelings, or a critical boss who's tearing you apart, or whatever, or a coworker who's a gossip, the first step is to breathe, to center yourself, and to choose how you respond to them. You just don't want to react when your buttons get pushed, because you want to own that moment with all of them, as all of these toxic people can throw you off. And the goal is you want to set limits and boundaries with them so they don't continue their behavior. You want to be very, very concerned with results. But what you want to surrender is your button pushing. Like when someone says, you're not enough or you're not doing a good enough job, you'll feel terrible, of course. But you don't want to react by, let's say, crying at the moment or yelling or whatever. But you want to regroup inside yourself and say, all right, how do I deal with the critical boss? How do I deal with the narcissistic boss? You know, how do I deal with somebody who's trying to control me? You know, and sometimes, you know, the best reaction is just to back off a little bit and regroup instead of reacting right away or sending a nasty email back. See, the mistake that many people make is to send nasty emails and then they regret it later. So you want to be very clear about how you respond to toxic people. And if, let's say, somebody is a long talker and you're exhausted after a long day of work and you come home and then your friend calls you and is talking for 2 hours about their problems, and then you're so exhausted you can barely listen, you have to set limits with the person and say, you know, I love you, you're my friend, but I can only talk for, you know, a few minutes now. I've just got home from work. And if you want to get into solutions, then we can definitely talk about it. You know, at another point. But you want to limit the time you talk to somebody, you know, rather than, most people are such good people, they want to sit and listen forever to their other people's problems. And in the workplace, you don't want to do that, and at home, you don't want to do that. You don't want to become codependent. You want to be able to set clear, healthy limits and boundaries with people so that they don't run over you.
Well, there are two things I heard you say earlier about the toxic relationship that you don't want to react.
Right.
And what you talked about was breathing. So would you say that it would be helpful if you're in a very toxic situation and you to, number one, recognize that you're getting very angry, and number two, take time to regroup, like go to the bathroom and breathe? And when you're talking about breathing, what specific kind of breathing are you talking about, Dr. Orloff?
I'm talking about deep breathing, where the breath is sacred in many traditions. Breathing, deep breathing in, you know, the air and exhaling stress is so critical. And just slow, deep breathing, sometimes belly breathing, so that your belly expands when you breathe, very slow to calm yourself down. And then from that calmer place, you can regroup. And if you can't leave the situation, go to the bathroom, at least count to 10 in your own mind before anything comes out of your mouth. Because you don't want to say anything you regret. That's particularly bad in a job situation. Now, you want to really come from an empowered place when you talk to somebody. And, you know, and there, in the book, I go through different kinds of toxic people and what to surrender. And one of them is the anger addict, somebody who dumps anger on you. And if it's a boss, it can be very difficult. With a family member, it may be a bit easier because you can set limits with them. And with anger addicts in my life, what I do is I don't allow them, you know, basically. Like, I don't like yelling around me. I don't like anybody dumping anger. It's very exhausting, and I feel it in my own body. And so I'll set a limit saying, I'm willing to talk to you about this, but no yelling and, you know, no dumping of anger. But the way I say it is a very, you know, matter-of-fact tone of voice, you see. But I set the limits in my life because I know it's so, you know, hurtful to me if somebody addresses me with intense anger. So I just don't allow it, and I like it that way.
So what you're really saying, Dr. Orloff, is that we can observe what we don't like in another person, in our presence, whether it's a family member, whether it's a boss who is toxic or who may be dumping anger. But we have a responsibility to become aware at what we're feeling and what we need and want so that we don't fall into the same trap. Because by falling into the same trap, we are reacting and we find ourselves getting angry and upset. And then before you know it, we're building and building and we're not getting any place and we're more stressful than we started out. And what you're saying is quite the opposite. You're saying observe, take a breath, be aware, and state what you need.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And if you can do that and train yourself to surrender your anxiety and surrender the need to say something right away, then you will be the empowered one. And you will get the results that you want. But if you just react or if you just feel terrible and poorly and then start beating yourself up, you know, that's not, you know, that's something that I'm suggesting people in the book really work on compassionately. So I know everybody beats themselves up. If you have a critical boss who says you're not doing things well, of course there's a voice in your head that goes, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? You see, but you have to really work with, you know, any kind of voice inside of your head that beats yourself up. You know, I have a spiritual teacher who's a Taoist, and he says that just beating yourself up a little bit less each day is spiritual progress. So that is the direction you want to go in. You don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to beat yourself up in addition to whatever the toxic person did.
Because by beating yourself up, you're joining forces with the toxic person.
Exactly.
And when you allow yourself or give yourself room to separate and to be totally who you be and become the observer, then you have time to take note of what you want to do, to breathe to, and to be yourself and allow them to be themselves and then state your needs.
Yes, and formulate exactly, you know, what your needs are so you can express it to them in a way that's very matter-of-fact. The tone of voice you take with a toxic person is key. You don't want to be snippy, angry, blaming, or judgmental. You just want to have a very neutral tone of voice. You know, to just say something like, you know, I really will take care of this, you know, but I'd prefer it if you didn't yell at me.
Now, how would people get in touch with you? Now, you have a website, and your book, again, is called The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways That Letting Go Can Empower Your Life, and we've just been talking about that. Now, do you have a website, Dr. Orlov?
I do. It's drjudithorloff.com. And I will also be giving a book signing and talk on the Ecstasy of Surrender in New York City at the New York Open Center on April 2nd at 7 p.m. So everyone is invited.
Wonderful. Well, I would like to talk before we end the program, I'd like to talk about another very important area where surrendering can really improve our health. And I'm talking about what do we do when we're confronted with an illness that gives us pain? How can surrendering, you have a chapter on this in your book, but talk about how surrendering can really help us deal with illness or pain, Dr. Orlov.
Yes, surrender is key to dealing with pain. Because as a physician over the years, I've worked with so many people in pain, and the worst thing you can do with pain is to resist it and tighten up and, you know, have tension in your body. The most important thing you can do with pain is to begin to breathe, blend with it, and surrender it rather than fight it, because what you resist persists with pain. And it's natural that the body wants to guard during a painful situation, but you have to work with your mind not to do that so that you can lessen the pain just by trying to relax through it as best you can with the breath, with how you talk about it in your mind. You don't want to make it worse by telling yourself, you know, scary stories about it.
Well, give an example how you talk about it in your mind that is a part of the letting go.
Okay, well, what people often do with pain is they say, I'm going to be in chronic pain all my life, and I'm going to be miserable, and oh, my God, what's going to happen to me? All right, and so you want to reprogram that and say, you know, I'm going to do what I can in the moment to help this, and I'm going to be feeling better.
So you change the way you talk to yourself.
Absolutely.
So you change the way you regard the illness.
Yes.
Or the pain.
Yes.
Because what you're saying, most times we become very angry and upset. Why am I inflicted with this? What's going on? How can I, and we're having all this negative conversation.
Yeah, that makes it worse.
And what you're saying is that we need to stop and reprogram ourselves and accept what we have and deal with it. So give us some positive ways of dealing with it, Dr. Olof.
Well, with pain, let's say you're in you have terrible pain. You know, the first thing is to start breathing and to start talking to yourself very positively and to have loved ones around you, the power of love, if you can, you know, if they're touching you or patting you on the back or helping you, that can help to relax you also. And to tell yourself, you know, that you're going to be better soon. And then instead of tightening around the pain, if you notice your muscles tightening, do relaxation exercises by tensing it and then releasing, tensing and releasing. So that relaxes the pain. Because what happens with pain is the stress hormones start flowing, the adrenaline and the cortisol, your muscles tense up, and you have all of these stress hormones in your body. What you want to get going are the endorphins, and I talk about this in the book.
Dr. Judith Olof, I want to thank you so much. Dr. Judith Olof, Assistant Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at UCLA and the author of The Ecstasy of Surrender, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that surrender is a secret weapon that allows us to be more powerful, happy, and successful. You have helped us to see that surrender, typically considered to be not very helpful for success, is wrongly associated with weakness and defeat. Thank you for helping us to make us more powerful when surrender is done at the right time and the right way. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.